I'd like to begin in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 this morning. If you have your Bible, I'd like to follow along, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is one of those places where even when you begin at the beginning of the chapter, you're really jumping right into the middle of a thought, of the context. As you know, the chapter and verse divisions within Scripture were not originally inspired, obviously. They were added a little bit later on and added for a good purpose, a good reason, and they are helpful. But sometimes I wonder why there was a particular chapter or verse division placed where it's at, but that's not for me to wonder. The apostle begins here in verse 1. He says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." I want to read a few verses and think about a couple of words that the apostle uses. One is house, the framework for a structure. Obviously, Paul is thinking about these bodies. He also uses the word clothed, to be covered with. To be covered upon. He says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this," that is, in this house, in this tabernacle that we are presently in, he says, "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked." You know, the life for the child of God here in this world, it's, as the songwriter says, indeed, a mixture of joys and sorrows, is it not? A mixture of joys and sorrows. It is sometimes a dilemma we face because of what we feel, because of what we experience. It's almost, in fact, somewhat of a paradox when you think about it. We'll go to another passage in just a moment. The Apostle Paul speaks more than once about this dilemma, this desire to go on, but yet a desire to stay. A desire to continue to live, a desire to continue to serve the Lord here in this life, to enjoy and experience the blessings that God has in store for us. But this life is, as I said, a mixture of joy and sorrow. When the joys are ours to experience, it gives us strength. It strengthens our faith and it brightens our hope to continue on for another day. But when those sorrows come, when the sufferings come, when the trials come, we get weary, we get tired. And that longing to go on and be with the Lord becomes stronger, does it not? He says, "For we that are in this tabernacle." Let's think for just a moment. Let's see if this has been your experience. The apostle says, "For we that are in this tabernacle, in this body, do groan. Being burdened." Do you experience the burdens of life? There's a lot of burdens that we bear in life, isn't there? I tell you, one of the heaviest burdens to bear, and I don't try to bear it in one sense, but yet I do bear it daily, is my own sin. That's why it's something that I have to deal with day by day, realizing, though, that I can't bear the burden of the penalty of sin. Somebody else has borne that burden for me. Thank God, and His name is Jesus Christ. But there are many burdens that we bear in life. I experience those, and many of you have physically, as we get older. There are many more burdens to bear. There are many more infirmities and challenges. There are many burdens that you young people bear. You try to, you don't want to be isolated from the world, but you don't want to deny your Lord either. There's many challenges, and we're pulled in many different directions, many burdens to bear. And in this tabernacle, Paul says, we groan. He says, "Not for that we would be unclothed." The Apostle Paul wasn't advocating that we should especially to take our own lives, but he wasn't advocating that he was ready just to end it all and go on. He wasn't advocating that this life was so terrible, so joyless, so full of misery that he would just wish that he could leave right that moment and go on. Paul wasn't advocating that. He says, not for that we would be unclothed, but he says, but clothed upon. There are many joys and blessings to experience in this life. God has so many rich things in store for his people while we live here in the world. But we know there's something far better, right? There's something far better than anything that we could ever experience in this life. And that's what Paul is looking forward to. He says, it's not that I want to be unclothed. In other words, it's not that I want to put off this body necessarily. It's not that I want this life to suddenly end. He says, but what I'm looking forward to is that clothing, that house which is from God, that house of that is eternal in the heavens, a building of God, not made with hands, as he's already said. He says his desire was to be clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Think about that expression for just a moment. Mortality would be swallowed up of life. What does he mean? I mean, we're alive right now, aren't we? We have life, and we have all of this about us that, you know, that indicates we're alive right now. But this life, as we know it, is not going to last forever, right? It's not going to last forever, not as we know it now. That's why we refer to this life as our mortal life. This is mortality. This is mortality. There's an end to this life as we know it. But that which we are looking forward to, there is no end. Amen? There's no end to that which we're looking forward to being clothed upon with that house, that building from God, which is eternal in the heavens. He says, now he that hath wrought us for the self same thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. I want to pause there for just a moment. Why do you experience this mixture of joys and sorrows in life? Why are there so many ups and downs? Why don't you just enjoy life as it is every day and not be burdened by, for example, the conviction of sin? Why is it that you cannot just live for yourself and not worry about your neighbor? Why is it that you feel those kinds of burdens? Why is it that you can't just live life as you please, eat, drink, and be merry, as they say, and not be concerned about right or wrong? Why is that? Because there's something different about you, child of God, and it's called the earnest of the Spirit. There is something within you that will not allow you to be satisfied, if I can put it that way. It will not allow you to be satisfied with the way things are. And especially if you're like, well, you may not be like me, but I'm especially not satisfied with myself. There's something within you that drives you to look for something better, to look for something deeper, some joy that lasts a lot longer than just the temporary happiness that you experience at times in this life. There's something, and Paul says, we've been given this earnest of the Spirit. Just a little down payment, just a little taste of what we will enjoy one day. That's why you feel the way you feel. Child of God, that's why you experience those joys and sorrows, that you know, what God has in store for you now, but yet what we also experience because of the sin that abounds in the world, the sin that abounds even in our own lives. He says, listen to what he says, a couple of more verses and we'll go to another place. He says, therefore we are always confident. This is what I really wanted. He says, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Here's something, I mean, it's obvious. I mean, it goes without saying. Not that the Lord is not with us, but we're not in his very presence, right? We're not in the fullness of his presence. He says, while we are here in this body, and here comes the dilemma. Here's the dilemma that we face. We like to be alive, don't we? I mean, even the most faithful among you, those of you who are the strongest in faith, those of you who have the brightest hope, there's something about death that you just kind of rather avoid, isn't there? I mean, it's just not something that you're looking forward to having to experience, right? I mean, even though when you're confident that the Lord will be with you, and that what awaits you on the other side is going to be perfect and complete and everlasting. But there's those kind of things that we just can't fully fathom right now. God gives us a taste of it along the way. We experience it from time to time. But Paul says, while we are here, in that sense, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. That's a good thing, but my problem is my faith. My problem is how strong my faith is, or how weak my faith is at times. We walk by faith, and so by an eye of faith, we can look forward to that which awaits us, and it carries us on through this life. But how about, is it with you? Do you experience that from time to time, a weakened faith? And maybe your hope is not as bright? He says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Listen to this, though. For we are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Right now we're in this body and we're absent from the Lord. What we desire to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. We know that's much better. That's much better. Even though, again, we have that dilemma, that which pulls us and draws us and from day to day here in this life, whether it be our church, whether it be our family, our friends, that it causes us to want to stay, to want to cling. But when we are blessed to meditate on the things that await us in heaven, we have that longing. We have that longing to go on and be with the Lord, right? Well, turn with me, if you will, to another portion of Scripture, Philippians. The Apostle Paul, will stay with his writings for just another moment or two. Philippians chapter 1. And I want to share a couple of thoughts from the Old Testament for you before we get through. Philippians chapter 1, just a few verses here. And let's see this dilemma that Paul is in. Let's listen to him describe further this dilemma that the Apostle Paul is in. Now, Paul is writing this letter evidently from prison. And there were those that were preaching the gospel while he was in prison, and they were doing it not in a sincere manner. Paul's words, he says there, that they were doing so in pretense. Not that they were preaching falsehoods. I think they were preaching the truth, but they didn't have the right motivation. Paul says somehow or another, because of their purpose or their intent was to add afflictions to his bonds while he's there in prison. They want to make it worse on him for some reason. But yet there were others who were preaching it in truth. They were preaching it sincerely. They were preaching the gospel in a sincere way. And Paul, he says, in my own words, he says, you know, it doesn't really matter to me whether in pretense or in truth, whether they're sincere or not. Christ is preached, and he was rejoicing in the fact that Jesus Christ was being preached while he was there in prison. So he says this in verse 19, for I know this shall turn to my salvation. Talk about different aspects of salvation that you find in Scriptures. Give you a little bit of homework and go back and look at this word salvation or the word saved and see how many times, especially in the New Testament, that it is used. And just look at the context, and you might begin to realize there are various aspects and various ways that the word is used. Here, Paul, he needed salvation, all right? He needed deliverance from prison. He needed to be delivered from prison, and that's what salvation is. It's deliverance. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Paul was thankful for the prayers of the saints while he was in prison, and he was confident that those prayers, and he says, what the Spirit of Christ would supply would be his deliverance. Isn't that the way it is with all of us? Every day, throughout our lives, it ought to be our confidence that whatever deliverance we stand in need of will come to us through what the Spirit of Christ supplies and through the prayers of the saints. We ought to be praying for one another daily. and looking to Christ. We're looking to God to answer those prayers, and what God supplies through the Spirit of Christ, that is our deliverance. No matter what situation we're in, no matter what our need is, that is our deliverance. What God supplies for us through the Spirit of Christ. He said, listen to what he says. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. It says, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be life or by death. What Paul just said was, you know, if I leave this prison and I continue to live, I want to glorify Christ. I want to magnify Christ. I want to glorify the Lord. If I die here in prison, I want it to glorify the Lord. That's our ultimate purpose, whether we live, whether we die, and whatever we're doing in between, that we magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what I want, verse 21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, I said dilemma, and maybe that's kind of a strong word, because Paul says, for me to live, and he's saying this from prison now, for me to live is Christ. While I'm alive, it's all about Christ. When I die, it's all going to be about Christ. It doesn't matter if I'm alive or dead, it's all about Christ. Would you say amen to that? Is that your feelings this morning? Is that your desire, that it's all about Christ? He says, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. And here's the dilemma. Yet what I shall choose, I what not. What Paul just say? If I had the choice, let's ask the question ourselves. If you had the choice, if you were given the choice, now I'm not just saying a one-time thing, but right now, if you could choose to continue to live, or if you could choose to die, what would you do? I think all of us would have different answers for different reasons. The situation that Paul was in, well, listen to how he describes it in verse 23. For I am in a strait betwixt two. You like that phrase? That's a good phrase. And I'm in a strait. That means he was being pressed. He was being compressed. He was in a perplexing situation. This was his dilemma. He had a desire to go on and be with the Lord. But he knew that if he continued to live, there'd be blessings there as well. And whichever way he went, he wanted to glorify Christ. He wanted to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ. He says, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul knew that he would be used of the Lord if he continued to live, and especially if he got out of that prison. Well, even in prison, he would continue to be used of the Lord, and that would be beneficial to others. Well, that's our dilemma. Do you have that longing? That longing is sometimes stronger than at other times, isn't it? Because of whatever our experience in life is, that longing, that desire that Paul says, I desire to depart and be with Christ. He says, I know that's far better. Do you have that longing? I want to share a thought or two with you from the Old Testament. There's a proverb over there, and it's Proverbs 13. Chapter 13, verse 12. You don't have to turn there, but it goes something like this. It says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Think about that for just a minute. Hope deferred, postponed, delayed. In our minds, things are often, they don't always happen when we think they should happen, right? And as we often say, you know, God's not on our timetable. And I don't think he has a timetable. He's created one for you and I. But God is a timeless being. A being that is not constrained or restrained, rather, by time. Not limited by time. And it's an amazing thought, really, when you think about it. Can't even describe it. Sometimes we say from eternity past to eternity future. And that really doesn't make sense. But in our minds, that's about as close as we can get. He sees it from all. And as the Bible tells us there, he has declared the end from the beginning. And so we just can't fathom those kind of things. But my point is, When we think something is postponed, when we think something is delayed, when we think something is being put off, that it's late in arriving, what does it do? Now, in particular, the wise man's talking about hope. What is hope? What is your hope? Do you think very highly of hope? I hope you do. The Apostle Paul did. The Apostle Paul put a lot of stock in hope. Hope, in fact, he says there in the 8th chapter of Romans, is something that delivers us. For we are saved by hope. Hey, there's another word. You can go, you know, another time that word's used. And go back there in the 8th chapter of Romans and look at what Paul is talking about. What did he need to be saved from? From what did he need deliverance? From what did he need delivering? The Apostle Paul in that 8th chapter of Romans talks about the sufferings of life. The sufferings of life. And not just any kind of suffering, but suffering for the sake of righteousness. Suffering for the sake of Christ. Suffering because you're determined to do right. There's going to be suffering in this life. We can expect to suffer. In fact, Paul told Timothy, all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. This world is opposed to righteousness. This world is opposed to Christ. This world is opposed to the things of the Lord. So when you try to follow those things, you can expect to suffer. You can expect some opposition. So in that 8th chapter of Romans, Paul is talking about the sufferings of this life. He also says that they're not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us one day. But nevertheless, they're sufferings. And they hurt. They're difficult to deal with. Right? You've experienced some of that. What hope does is deliver us now from those sufferings. It delivers us because hope looks forward. Hope looks at something that's not fully realized yet. That's why it's called hope. But he calls it the earnest expectation of the soul. Not just wishful thinking. Something that we earnestly expect to come about, but it hasn't happened yet. That's what delivers us. That's what keeps our focus on things which are eternal, not things which are temporal, not things which are temporary. That's what delivers us. So, hope deferred. In other words, what we are anticipating, what in our minds, if it is put off, if it's delayed, if it's postponed, we're anxiously longing for it to take place and it doesn't, how does it make you feel? It reminds me of another verse there in the Song of Solomon, and I'm not going to go over there and read all of it. I think it's the second chapter, the Song of Solomon. Have you visited the Song of Solomon yet, lately? Beautiful love story. You could probably take it and apply it in different ways, but primarily it's a beautiful love story, the love that Christ has for His church and the love that His church, His bride, has for Him. Go over there and read it sometime. It's fascinating language. But one of the things over there, a phrase that I remember, it is the church, the bride, if you will, the bride speaking about her husband. Think about the church and Christ. Think about you and your husband, Jesus Christ. And the expression is, I am sick of love. In other words, I am sick with love. Not that he was sick and tired of it. He was sick with love. He was so in love, so longing. Well, it was she. Excuse me. The bride was so in love and longing so much for her husband that it just, you know, just kind of, you get that gut-wrenching feeling in your inside sometimes. You have such a desire for someone. You have such a longing for Christ. You have such a longing for your wife, for your husband, for your children. And when you're separated from them, how does it make you feel? Well, that's the dilemma. That's the dilemma. Paul says, for I am in a strait. I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. The words of Jesus from John chapter 14. Have you experienced that longing? Maybe some of you have not experienced that the way that I've poorly described it concerning Christ. Maybe it happens. Maybe you can relate to it when you think about your husband or your wife or your children. However we might have experienced that longing, that love sickness, that's the kind of longing that we should allow to develop within us for Christ. For Christ. Child of God, no matter how strong your ties, your bonds in this life, no matter how strong they are, they're temporary. And no matter how much you long for your wife, for your husband, for your children, you may have a strong desire to be with the Lord's people, the saints of God. I hope you do. You may have a strong desire and a longing, especially when you've been absent for a while, to assemble with the Lord's people. That's great. That's a blessing. It's especially a blessing when that desire is fulfilled. But whatever you might have experienced in that realm, in this life, is temporary. It is that kind of longing, though, that we should have to be with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The reason all of this is sometimes referred to as hope, again, is because we've not fully realized. It hasn't happened yet. It hadn't come to full fruition. In fact, in that eighth chapter of Romans, probably should have just gone over there and read it, Paul says there's something we're waiting for. And he refers to it as the adoption. Adoption. When's the last time you thought about that word adoption or studied that subject in Scripture? The adoption. Among other things, one of the things that Christ accomplished when he died on the cross was adoption. He completed the legal work necessary for you to be adopted into the family of God. And you know what I read over there somewhere, I think it's the first chapter of Ephesians, and it is because we just read it recently. He says, predestinated us unto the adoption of children. That's an amazing thought. I'll give you something else to go home and study about a little bit. The adoption. Christ accomplished. He finished the legal work necessary so that you would be his child. But Paul says there's an aspect of that adoption, he says, that we're still waiting on. We're waiting to come to full fruition, and he refers to that as the redemption of this body. There's coming a day, and it is that day when Christ returns, that even these bodies will be redeemed. Oh, we'll be with him as soon as you pass this life. You'll be with him, soul and spirit. We'll be wafted away into the presence of God at that very moment. But there's coming a day. Now, I know this is hard to get your hands around something. It's hard for me to get my arms or to wrap my mind around this fascinating thought. But if I can't wrap it around the resurrection, I have nothing to wrap around. I have nothing, right? I have nothing. There is coming a day that what Christ accomplished on the cross will come to full fruition. That's when these bodies are fully redeemed, fully restored, when this mortal will have put on immortality, when this corruption will have put on incorruption. That's what Paul is talking about. It hadn't happened yet, but he's earnestly expecting it. He's confident that it's going to happen. But for you and I, there are times when we say, Lord, come quickly, right? There are times when we say, Lord, come quickly. Our hope is deferred. And we have this longing, this heart sickness. The rest of that proverb over there says something like, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. It's a tree of life. When the desire comes, when the desire is fulfilled, it's a tree of life. The words of Jesus in John chapter 14. In the meantime, while our hope, at least in our minds, might be deferred, while it seems that there might be a delay in the return of Christ, Jesus gives us some comforting words. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And here's the promise. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again. And here's the part I like. And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm looking forward to a day when Christ returns to take us to where He is. A lot of people are looking forward to a day that Christ will come and be here with us for a while. I'm looking forward to a day that Christ is going to come and take us all back to where He is. Amen? That's what I'm looking forward to. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.